Hey everybody, it's Cody Strait here, and thank you so much for joining us for the second installment of The Updraft, which is the condensed version of the Upward Spiral podcast. And in this episode, Davin presents the topic to me about how I go about improving personal performance. And we riff on that for a little bit, we talk about that, but ultimately where we land is I provide four rules for improving personal performance that have worked for me, and I believe that they can work for you to great effect. So with that being said, I've also cut out a lot of the part at the beginning where Davin and I are just going back and forth, and we just get right into the subject matter at hand. So thank you so much for checking this out. Let's go, guys. What do you got for me? Hit me.
All right, let's get it going. So Cody, there's a tremendous amount of books out there. There's almost an entire genre of books about personal performance. And about, you know, think of Stephen Covey's, you know, Habits of Highly Effective People. I want to talk a little bit about that today. And I want to talk about your growth as a professional and the things that you've learned, the 3 to 5 things that you've learned you can do throughout your day to set you up for success, to differentiate yourself, to drive performance in your day, you know, things that you've learned throughout the years. You know, and Cody's backstory for our listeners is he spent the entirety of his professional career at Access, the company that we both work for. You know, we started out as an inside sales rep and then progressed through sales and then became a sales manager and then went over to what, Cody, to strategy and innovation and to marketing and
international, opened up our international division. Yeah.
Right. And he has, it's a unique thing because you talk about working for one company for what, 18 years?
Yeah.
But I think that's a bit disingenuous because you've been part of 7 or 8 at least different iterations of Access and helped it grow and been a tremendous part of its growth. Mm-hmm. So looking back at the very beginning and who you were as that inside sales rep, I would imagine as though the habits that you employed throughout the day to make yourself effective probably look a little bit different to how they are now. Is that fair?
Absolutely. That's fair. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's fair for sure.
Okay. And I know you're a big reader. So this is a topic that I think our leaders or our listeners rather will be able to learn a lot from, you know, get those nuggets of information and the ones that identify with you and your type of personality, right? Cody's a big thinker and he's very much a quick starter. He's one of the primary idea guys. And so, you know, you think of that type of person, you think of the entrepreneurial mindset and the entrepreneurial spirit, and generally they tend to be flighty. You know, you start to think of some stereotypes that drive that type of personality. But one of the things that I've always found the most intriguing about you since I've known you is that you do employ habits throughout your day. You do learn specific techniques that you can use throughout your day to make yourself more effective. And that flies, Cody, I think, a little bit in the face of the traditional entrepreneurial mindset. So for our listeners that are entrepreneurial, I think this is going to be a really good episode for you guys to listen in to understand how Cody has evolved and how he approaches his day as a professional or even on the personal side to make himself more effective, Cody. So I'm going to turn it over to you, man. What's the first thing you do?
All right. So excellent. I appreciate that. So that's an awesome subject and I'm going to hit the timer right now. That gives us 20 minutes. Right now to be able to discuss this topic. And again, we'll go back and forth on this. I love this topic so very, very much because let's just start with this. All of us, I believe, my personal opinion is we are blessed with a certain amount of potential in our life. Now, I define potential is capabilities that are yet to be realized. Okay, they're there, you have it in you, but the potential, unless you actually put in the time, the work, the effort, the energy, and you have the courage to put yourself out there, that potential remains exactly as such, unused energy that has not come into existence yet. It is there, it is capability and capacity, but you're not bringing it out into the world. And the absolute worst thing that anybody could ever have at the end of their life is to leave that potential as such, to have that as unrealized good that you could have brought to the world, to somebody, to something. If it's the whole affect of leaving the cards on the table, leaving the money on the table, you know what I mean? That's the last thing you want to do. Live a full life. That's what I'm passionate about. And that's why I want to pursue and have always felt inherently that it's just part of me that I have to get better because so many people have invested in me. There's some stuff inside of me that I have to draw out and I just feel absolute pressure that I have to maximize all of that because that's what the world requires of me. And that is a lot of it about the purpose of life. Now, how do you do that? How do you do it? How do you bring about your best self? You know, I think it was Michelangelo that said something about every block of marble, there is a work of art that is yet to be revealed, and you have to shed that excess marble to reveal that beautiful work of art, right? So how on earth do you do that? Well, you do it through mentors, you do it through influences, you do it through people that you know. Who do you trust? Who do you respect? Who can you look up to? That is a tremendous start. What can you learn from them? If it's a parent, if it's a grandparent, if it's somebody that is that you just grew up with in your community, anybody that you respect professionally, look at them, ask them about their life story, ask them what drives them. That, number one, is tremendous, that personal side of things, okay? The next thing is, what can you do then to supplement that? And for me, like you talk about, it's books. It's books. There's books that you can read about your profession, and that's great, and you should do all that. But there's other books out there about, like, Brené Brown's Dare to Lead. You got Brandon Bouchard, High Performance Habits. I can't remember this dude. I think he's a Scottish dude. You know, the Art of Not Giving a Fuck, right? There's books like that that are just help you kind of unlock yourself. And so people that are high performers, whether you know them or you don't, you're able to get access to them and how they're able to achieve high performance relative to their mental state in books like what I just mentioned, or The Tools of Titans, you know, which is kind of an aggregate of a lot of different stories of high performers from Tim, what's his name, bald dude?
Oh, Tim Ferriss.
Tim Ferriss, thank you. Yeah. So stuff like that, lean on those things. So that's what I'm going to talk about. That's where I would start first, is in all those different areas. So let me pause and take a breath for a second here, because I could certainly continue onward here. Devin, what say you to that?
I want to key in on this potential and how it plays into the mentors that we have in our lives. Okay. Have you read Malcolm Gladwell's book, Outliers?
Yes.
For our readers, our listeners that haven't read that book, it's basically the premise that the most gifted soccer player may very well be sitting on a couch somewhere. The smartest person may have never gotten into MIT and been able to maximize his potential because the opportunities weren't there for them to take advantage of it. It's basically the premise that opportunity breeds opportunity breeds opportunity. And from those opportunities come more success. So have you noticed that? Is that something that you found throughout your life? And again, we can go back to Tim Elliott, the owner, CEO of the company that we both work for, and the relationship that he had with his father, and how your opportunity to be where you are now was born from a relationship. Speak to that a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Before I speak to the relationship side of things, let's just talk about this. Like another cool book to read is The Talent Code. And it talks about how talent is able to spur up. Like you talk about the soccer player, right? There's why does certain amazing world-class talent develop out of these little pockets of a favela in Brazil, or this amazing tennis talents develop out of somewhere over in Eastern Russia, you know, like Maria Sharapova and the whole camp that came out of that, right? The 4 minute mile, it is impossible until it wasn't, mm-hmm. right? And as soon as somebody crossed that threshold and did it, that 4 minute mile was accomplished and achieved by, I don't know the exact number of people, but many other people right shortly after that, because somebody crossed that threshold and realized that what was impossible is possible. And so what changed? It's just a mental state. That is it, right?
The adjacent possible.
The right. Adjacent possible, exactly. And so getting over that into then your personal relationships, people have achieved great success, whether personally or professionally, socially, whatever it is you're striving to do, but everybody has done something. Everybody's got something to teach you. And for those people, look at them through that lens. How can I learn from you? What is it that I can gain from you so that I can become the best person possible? And what experiences in their life have they done that has worked out well and has not worked out well? And again, personal, professional, sometimes they're inextricably linked. And how can I take those lessons and apply them to my life, which then that forms wisdom, right? That's wisdom. being able to take the lessons learned from other people and apply it in your life so you don't make those same mistakes, and you're able to get essentially a big jump start. So for me, guys like Tim had a guy like his father, me, I had my father had his father. And there's multiple people that I grew up with as well that have helped shape me and form me, and teachers, college teachers, middle school teacher. There's a middle school teacher I had, Robert Fairchild, is an awesome dude. I've spoken with him in 30 some odd years, but I still think about the dude all the time because he formed a big part of me. And that's the thing. And our mutual buddy, David Wells, there's a statement that he says all the time. And this is a quote that he gets from somebody that's really cool and has a neat sounding name. But, you know, I am a part of everyone who's interacted with me, right? That's we're constantly shaped by that. So if you can just be mindful of it and you can seek it out and say, how is it that I can learn? And then this is the thing. How is it that I can take those learnings, become my best self so that I can give to people, not just so I can accumulate, you know, riches relative to social context or monetary context, but how is it that I can take this and enrich other people's lives? Davin, what say you to that?
Yeah, interesting point, because I think mentors or, you know, those relationships that we have give us the opportunity. But it's that innate desire that we have that allow us to maximize it. We see sons and daughters of, you know, tycoons tank their family business because they were given opportunities but chose not to maximize it. And this is a deeper conversation about being tied to the struggle and, you know, the value of struggle and the things that we talked about in some of our earlier episodes. But, you know, it's important to delineate between an opportunity making you successful and an opportunity giving you the option, giving you the pathway to be successful and maximizing it on your own. So that's point number one.
Right.
Thoughts?
No, I would agree with that. And, you know, kind of an adjacent point to that is, you know, you talk about business owners, kids, you know, they come in and then they tank the business. Well, the business owner themselves had to struggle to get that business. Like you said, we talk about that in other, other aspects, right? But the thing is, so many people out there are fearful. They are afraid. They are afraid of failure. They are afraid of, well, what if I put something out there and the world doesn't like it? What if I do this and I get it wrong? And you know what? The fact is, it is, and you're right to be afraid of that. And you're normal. Everybody's afraid of those things. But once you start going through life and you take the courage, and you can't have courage without fear. If you don't have fear, then you don't have courage. Those two are inextricably linked. You have to have fear to be able to have courage. So to have that courage and say, I am fearful, I acknowledge it, but I'm still going to go forward and take that risk, that is where opportunity and that is where learning and experience lie. And whenever you get those experiences, whether they are good or bad, they are, and that is just a judgment that we put onto it. The bad experiences, the ones where we perceive that we fail, that's where we learn the most from. That's what we learn the most from. So be okay with that and just put it out there, because the last thing you want at the end of your life is to say, I wish I would have risked more. I wish I would have done this, but I made the safe bet, not the one that really my heart was wanting to get after.
Fantastic point. Point number two, and then I'm going to get into the questions about your habits, is that part of the issue with having so many mentors and reading so many books and working on some of the supplemental you know, performance that you and I talk about in order to get better and grow, is that you can find yourself zigzagging on your path, right? You'll read Malcolm Gladwell's Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, or, you know, I'm sorry, Stephen Covey. And so you veer hard left, and now that becomes your mantra. And then you read Peak by Erickson, and you zigzag all the way over back to that side, right? And then every book that you read, you find yourself going more laterally than you do vertically, or horizontally than you do vertically. So how do you, over time, begin to pick nuggets out of that and find true north on your own? How do you do that?
Well, no, that's a very good point. And that comes through exposure and experience and broad consumption. Meaning, if you only read one book, then that is your reference point. Then you read another book, and like you said, you oscillate in another direction to chase the points of those books. Then you read another book and you oscillate towards that one, and then you oscillate down. But here's the thing, the more of those books that you read, you'll start to find commonalities, and then the oscillation lessens, and you start to be like, yes, there is a consistent theme across these 50 some odd books. And you take the lessons from that, as well as the lessons gleaned from other people that you have experiences with, and you start to figure out what's important for you, what is true to you. And you don't know until you just put yourself out there and you experience it. And then it's a matter of the heart to me. It's a matter of what feels right, what is right with me. And because that's leaning more into your true self and what gives you joy and what makes you just sleep well at night. And so you then just glean those over time, but you have to always be conscientious of it and intentional. Where can I grow? And also part of growth is, where are my weak spots? And you have to then ask people that you trust, hey, what is it that I don't see? Because this is the thing that's interesting about this. We can only see the world through our own two eyes, right? The only time we ever see ourselves is in a reflection in a mirror or a reflection of somebody saying, here's what you see. Like, I don't know what the back of my head looks like, right? And this is the kind of thing, neither do you. So we have to rely on other people to say, here's what this looks like. So you have to get those 2, 3, 4 people to say, where are my blind spots? How can I be better? And you have to be able to put your ego aside to actually learn. And you have to want to do that. And it's painful. It can be painful, but it's required.
So first of all, the back of my head looks like a pack of hot dogs. We know that. it's well documented. The second part is, you know, as you begin to learn these tactics that you read in some of these books, you know, that, you know, whether you get it from Covey or whomever, you have to be able to mesh it up with your personality. And I think we find over time through trial and error, like, look, you know, keep a 4x4 planner. You know, that's a habit that a lot of people do. Try as I may, I've tried. It doesn't mesh up with who I am as a person and who I am as a professional. And so it is square peg, round hole. And I find I spend more time fighting that habit than I do employing that habit. So that's where trial and error comes into play over time as well. As you learn the things, you learn how you tick as a professional. You learn who you are as a person. And some of the stuff, as effective as they may be for others, it's not going to be effective for you. And that's okay. And this is where I want to take that turn and find out. So over the course of your time as a professional, that's point number one, man. Just do a time check. How many time we got to go through? How much time we got to go through these points?
We're at 13:45.
Okay. So we got 7 minutes, Cody, to go through these 3 points. So let's start with number one, man.
Okay.
What do you got?
Point being, like, what is it that I've employed in my life? Like, what's true to me? Okay. So number one, I was diagnosed as a dyslexic whenever I was in third grade, but I didn't learn about that. I didn't find out about that until I was about 37 years old. Okay. So as you said, Davin, and you think about dyslexic, mix that up also with somebody that is attention deficit, you know, bounce all around different ideas, and I can have big, broad, creative ideas, but details are not my thing. They just aren't, and that's okay. But the fact is, though, is that I know that. Now, if I want to succeed, not only do I want to lean into my strengths, I need to be aware of my weaknesses, and I need to be able to set a stage where my weaknesses aren't going to sink me, you know? And you hear all this stuff out there, and Brendon Burchard in High Performance Habits talks about this, and okay, great. Know your strengths, and that's awesome, but know your weaknesses and focus on that and do everything you can to mitigate or minimize those things, because it's not just a matter of playing into the strengths. It's a matter of working with, dealing with the weaknesses and trying to do your best to make sure that's right. So for me, because I'm so flighty, I have to exercise discipline in a hardcore way. And so discipline, discipline, discipline. And this is where you have to understand and come to terms with, there's things in your life that if you want to succeed, that you may not like them and you may not want to do them, but you know what? That doesn't matter. And the sooner that you can understand that, I don't have to like it. That's fine. I can come to terms with that. I just have to do it. Okay. And the best way for me personally to do it is to remove choice. Okay. If I give myself the choice that this particular essential aspect relative to my job or relative to my school or relative to my whatever, I don't like it. I don't enjoy it. Screw it. That doesn't matter. I don't have a choice. Just I personally will remove the choice. I have to do it, and I have to do it by this time. There is no choice in the matter. And that allows me the mental bandwidth to just go for it. I don't have a choice whether the sun rises tomorrow, whether it rains. It just is. And so I just have to deal with it. And that for me is step number one, is remove choice. And the second thing is, we talk about, so I'm gonna go through 4 things real quick. That's number one. The other thing that I've got is, you talk about multitaskers. I'm so good with multitasking. I can do all this. No, It is not multitasking. I have this little motto that I've personally developed, single task to success. That is the only way that you can do this, because you have to figure out what it is that's important, and then you have to singularly focus on that until that task is done and complete before you can move on to the next one. Otherwise, you've got too many balls in the air, and then they drop, and then the whole thing is a mess. So single task to success. Now, that is a matter of like what is important. To that point, I have something that I've applied to my life. I call it the 80-20 cubed. Okay, that's just me. And what it is, it's based on, okay, 80% of what we get out of life is coming from 20% of our effort. And the same could be said in business. 80% of the best customers, or the money we have, comes from 20% of our customers. Okay, great. So what is that 20% that's so good and so important? And dive into that, because it's producing tremendous results. But when I say 80-20 cubed, what I'm talking about is, let's go into that 20%. What is the 80-20 inside of that 20%? All right. That gets down to the really, really important things. Guess what? Do it one more time. So then your 80-20, go into that. What is the 80-20 inside of that 20? And then one more time, what is the 80-20 inside of that 20? And you're trying to figure out really what is the most important thing personally and professionally. And in the span of, like, say, a year, pick out two or three goals that are just really meaningful and important, and focus on those, because that's what matters. Not these tiny little things. It's the big stuff that matters. So that's 3 points. I will cap this off, and I will say what you have to do through all of this as well. We've talked about this on other podcasts relative to training, physical training and stuff. Get comfortable being uncomfortable and be okay with that. Do that in having hard conversations with people. Do that in physically training, which we talked about, physically training hard and putting your body through that stress. You get physical results from it, but that's great. But what you're exercising is grit and resilience from a mental standpoint. And that gives you then the ability to practice that and apply that then in different areas of your life. So be comfortable being uncomfortable professionally, personally, physically. And physical is the biggest one that you can control. I can control that I wake up and I'm going to go bang out 100 pushups as an example. And that hurts and that's uncomfortable, but I remove the choice in my head. I don't have a choice. I just have to do it. And that makes me resilient, and that gives me grit. So those are the 4 points that I would say have been very impactful to me. Devin, what say you to that?
So I want to put a pin in one thing that you talked about, and that's working on your weaknesses, because I think you and I disagree slightly on this, and about, I think we need to be aware of our weaknesses, but Cody, I'm never going to be an astronaut. Mm-hmm. It's never going to happen.
Not happening. Nope.
So why work on my skills as an astronaut if I'm never going to be an astronaut? Is my time not better suited capitalizing on my strengths as opposed to trying to minimize my weaknesses? So different conversation for another day. We're running out of time, but I think you are just completely wrong. And I want to talk more about why I think you're wrong.
It is so hard to not be like, yeah, but, you know, so we'll have a yeah, but conversation about that later on. Cause no, I agree with you. I do agree with you, but it's a very tempting thing for me. It's a siren song to be like, here's a weakness. I need to round out me as a person, and I need to close that weakness off here. Right. And mm-hmm. get better at that. But like you said, that's not right.
I further identify weaknesses.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, yeah.
No, I agree with that. And that's a good thing, right? Like, that you're saying, and it's a good something for us to talk about later on in another session here, but we did just cross the 20-minute threshold. So I have enjoyed this. We could keep going on and on about different anecdotes and different stories and about this time this person said this and whatever it is, but that's not what this is. This is the updraft, baby. This is a 20-minute window for us to talk about something. We have achieved that. So that's really, really excellent. Anything else that you want to say relative to this topic, or just anything else in general?
Okay. So your 4 points: discipline, single task to success, 80-20 cubed, and comfortable being uncomfortable. I like all four of those. I think that it's identified by a common theme, which is discipline. You're number one. Cody, 30 seconds, wrap it up. What do you have to say to put a bow on today's updraft?
This whole aspect of being successful and achieving your maximum capacity and ability, it is a long game. It is a long run. It is a lifetime pursuit. There is no summit to this as well. You never will arrive to the point where you're like, well, that's it. That's the best that I can be. Make incremental goals for yourself, whether it's reading a book, going out and trying to run a half a mile, whatever it is, start with something and understand that this is a journey. This is an incremental process and you've got time on your side with this, but pursue it. Keep at it. One book is not necessarily going to change your life, okay? If one book doesn't work out well for you, great, read another book. If one mentor doesn't really work out too well, great, find another one. Keep pursuing, keep growing, and do it with intent so that you can, again, live a life where you leave nothing on the table at the end.
I love it, man. Well cool. Done. I always appreciate your time, buddy.
Thank you very much, sir. All right, guys. So again, give us that feedback, whether it's in the context of YouTube or a comment, reach out to us, find us. We've got all the information down below in all these different areas. Let us know what you like, what you don't like, how we can make this thing better as we're just putting ourselves out there in a very organic way. Like I said, this, Devin, I said, this isn't rehearsed. This is just raw. This is true. This is not something that is highly produced. So if you like it, again, excellent. If you don't, also awesome. Go hang out with Toby Keith.
Yep. All right, buddy. Good stuff. Thanks.